Haggai chapter 1. The teens will be with us this morning. And I'm glad you're here with us this morning. Pastor Yeomans is away on vacation this week, so he is here, but he has asked me to speak today. And so he has to listen to me now, too. I'm going to preach about how to be a good boss. That's my topic today. No, just teasing. All right. Haggai. Some people say Haggai. I say it Haggai. I'm not sure which is right. I try to figure it out, and everybody has a different opinion. So I'll probably go back and forth a little bit. Not often we do that on Sunday morning, turn to the book of Haggai. But today we'll look and see what God has for us from there. When I was home from college one Christmas break, I got a job at a hardware store called Samsel Supply Company. Samsel Supply. It was down close to downtown. A friend of mine had a job there. When I came home, he was able to get me on for a few weeks. My job, take inventory. I know it sounds exciting. I mean, you're probably jealous right now that I had that job, but take inventory. And believe me, the job was as exciting as it sounds, all right? So for 2 or 3 weeks that Christmas break, I counted nuts, bolts, washers, gloves, cans, whatever was on the shelf, I counted and made a record of that and turned it in. That was my job. It wasn't exciting, but the company knew something important. Before you can move forward, you need to stop and take stock. You need to take inventory every so often. Which brings us to the book of Haggai, or Haggai. In it, God's messenger is telling God's people to stop, take inventory. So Haggai, the prophet, is a preacher or a prophet from God. And he came back to the people that were living in Jerusalem with a message from God. And in the book of Haggai, it's an interesting book. I hope you'll read through the whole thing. It's 2 chapters. It's not very long. We're going to stay in chapter 1 today. But in the course of these 2 chapters, there are 4 different sermons preached by Haggai. And so these are, I'm only going to preach one, but there's 4 messages preached by Haggai in this book. In the course of 4 months. It's unusual in that the Bible timestamps each of the messages. So you can tell there's a 4-month period that this is happening. So it's pretty interesting. And in fact, what makes it even more interesting is the book of Haggai fits right in the middle of the book of Ezra. Okay, so Ezra is a historical book, and Haggai is a prophetic book, and these two go hand in hand. And so if you're reading through the book of Ezra, and you came to around chapter 5 or 6, it introduces the character Haggai, and it says he came from God with a message, and it moves on. And then if you wanted to stop there and turn to the book of Haggai, you know exactly what he said when he came to Jerusalem. And so these two books go together, and it gives us this a great picture of what was going on in Jerusalem and what God was telling his people. So we're going to start with a few verses from Ezra that will stay in the book of Haggai. The main theme of his messages is pretty clear from the book of Haggai. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, read the next 3 verses with me, would you please? Consider your ways. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. It's on the screen or in your Bible. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, say it with me, consider your ways. Haggai chapter 2, skip down there, verse 15. We'll put it on the screen for you. Verse 15, and now I pray you, read the next word with me, consider. And he says this, from this day and upward. What he's saying is, what you consider today should change your life from now on. It's not, we're not looking for an emotional event. We're looking for a life-changing decision. Consider, from this day forward, this day and upward, look at verse 18 of chapter 2. What's the first word there? Say it with me. Consider. And he says, now, when should we consider? Now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Hey, right now. Consider now, and then from this day and upward. All right? So that's the message. Look at the last 2 words of this verse. Consider it. So 5 times in 2 chapters, the theme. So I'm going to steal the title of Haggai's message this morning, simply consider your ways. Consider your ways. In fact, I'm going to do my very best to steal the entire message of Haggai. All right, I'm just going to try to give you what he gave to the people of Israel and people in Jerusalem and apply it to our time. That's what we're supposed to do with the Bible. And so this message of consider your ways is just as pertinent and important today as it was back then. So this morning, are you willing to consider your ways? Are you willing to stop and take inventory? Are you ready to press the pause button for just a minute and think about things and let God speak to you this morning? I hope you will. Now, I know one thing about Haggai. Haggai didn't have screens, and he didn't have points, and he didn't have PowerPoint, and have all that stuff, but he had the power of God and the message of God. And I'm doing the best I can today to just deliver to you the same message that Haggai delivered to the people in Jerusalem, and I hope I can do it, and I'm asking for the power of God. So let's pause and pray and ask the Lord to help us today to consider our ways. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to preserve your words for us, and for some reason you've given us the book of Haggai, and I pray that today you allow me to explain the truth from these verses in a very clear way, and that everyone here today would stop and help us with the help of your Holy Spirit to consider our ways. That's all we ask for today, is that we can sit in your presence and in your power and understand what you have for us, that we may leave here from this day and upward, from this day and forward, to make decisions that are not emotionally based, but are based upon the call of God in our life. And Lord, I pray you'd speak to us in a very real way, from teenager to adult, that you might do a work in our hearts that would be life-changing. We love you so much, and we're thankful so much for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. In Ezra chapter 1, just give you a little background of the story, the people of Israel were in captivity. They're in Babylon, all right? So they're far away from home in a place called Babylon. And it's such an interesting thing that happened as they were in Babylon, and they were living under the reign of Cyrus the king. And the Bible says it this way in Ezra chapter 1, that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. God did a work in the heart of a heathen king, and the spirit was stirred up. And so out of his own volition, with God working in his life, he said, I need to send people back to Jerusalem to build a temple. Here's what he said. This is his own words in Ezra chapter 1. He said that the Lord of God of heaven hath charged me. He's commissioned me. He's given me a job to build him a house at Jerusalem. This Cyrus says, I'm going to build a house in Jerusalem for the God of heaven. Unbelievable. I don't even know if he believed in the God of heaven, but he knew that the Jews believed in the God of heaven. And so he said to the Jews, anybody, if there be anybody in here, that God will work in you, if you're willing and ready to go, you can go back to Jerusalem. You can leave bondage and go back with the commission, with the job. What? Build the temple. Be very clear about that. They had one job. You ever hear that say? You have one job. You know what their one job was? Build the temple. Right? Say it with me. Build the temple. If they had one job, the job was build the temple. That is very clear. And it was commissioned by God through Cyrus. And God did the stirring. And the verse in Ezra goes on to say this, that God raised up the spirit of some of the people. That word raised up and the word stirred up, Cyrus got stirred up, the people got raised up, same word. There was a when Cyrus got worked up about this and said, I need to build a temple, he said, hey, any of you Jews, anybody here that wants to go, I'll let you go. And there are certain individuals in that group that said, God wants me to do that. I need to leave, and pack your bags, baby. We're heading out to Jerusalem. God's called us to do this. We're out of here. And no, the Bible says not everybody got that stirring. And God said, if you're not stirred to do that, then stay here and send the funds to do it. And so people got stirred up, and they left what they knew and were comfortable in. This has been 70 years, so unless they're older than 70, Babylon is the only life they knew. They had no idea what Jerusalem, they had heard stories, they had talked about, they had never seen Jerusalem. And so the vast majority, and maybe all of them that go back, have never been to Jerusalem. But oh, they knew? They knew, God wants me to do this. I'm stirred up. The Spirit of God has worked in my life, and I got to do this. My one job, build the temple. They get back, they lay the foundation, and then they stopped. This is the story of Ezra. They stopped. Not for weeks, not for months, 16 years. 16 years. We got teenagers in here that are 16 years old. Their entire life. That length, of that period of time, there was no work happening on the temple. So for 16 years, no work, and then enters Haggai the prophet. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 1. Let's read it together. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius, so the king has changed, it was Cyrus, now it's Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, so he's the governor of this area of Judah, Jerusalem, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, so we have a leader and a spiritual leader, the high priest, saying, here's the message. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. All right, look up here. Can you imagine that? Haggai comes back and says, I got a message from God. And he ends the message in this part, consider your ways. So I'm going to do my best I can to break down this message to help us understand what the message was from God. We see here, first of all, the problem with the people. God's pretty clear. There's a problem with his people that he's about to deal with very pointedly and very importantly. He's going to deal with the problem with the people. The excuse that they used was this, verse 2. The time is not, this is what the people are saying, the time's not come. It's not the right time to build the Lord's house. Let's review. They had one job. Their one job was to build the temple. And they said, well, we're here in Jerusalem, the foundation is laid, but it's not the right time right now to do what we've been called to do. God's quoting them. This people say, it's not time. Can I remind you that delayed obedience is still disobedience? They were not rebellious. They didn't say, we're not building no temple. We're here to live it up. We got out of Babylon and we have freedom. We can do whatever we want now. Can you imagine that? I know I've known some young people that get out of the house and they go crazy wild because after they get out, no more rules, do what you want. You know, just because you have freedom doesn't mean you don't have restriction from God. And so these people, they're not saying, hey, we're here, we have freedom, we are not building the temple, we're going to live it up here in Jerusalem. They're not saying that. They're saying, no, it's just not time. We'll get to it. God, don't you worry about that house. We're going to get to it. It's going to happen. It's going to be beautiful. Don't you worry about it, but it's not right time. Do we do the same thing? Do we ever say, I'll serve later. I'll give later. I'll go later. I'll obey later. I'll get serious about things later. It's coming. You don't know. It's just crazy right now. You don't know how crazy it is in my life right now. You don't know what's going on in my life. And I want to serve God, and I want to be obedient, but right now it's just crazy. Like, I just can't do it. Do we ever say that to God? I'm sure we don't say it out loud to God, but do we say it in our actions? That's the message of the people. I'll do it. I'll do it later. I don't have time to read my Bible today. I don't have time to pray today. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And I'm not saying you don't have time. If I asked you, were you busy this week? Oh, man, so busy. So busy. I was busy. You busy? I was busy. It's hard not to be busy. It's easy to be busy. But are we too busy to follow the commission and command of God? If we are, then guess what? We're too busy. Something's got to change. That's what God's saying to his people. You say to me, the time is not come. That's the excuse they use, but notice the emphasis they chose, verse 4. God says, well, it's not time. That's your excuse. It's not time. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? Oh, you got time for that, don't you? It's different when God speaks about these things because God knows. You don't got time to build my house, but your house, look at your house. You got time for that? And you're building and you're making, but you're off track. You've lost focus. You've missed your priority and you're way out of whack. Stop and consider your ways. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? The word sealed there has to do like sealing, right? And it has the idea of a paneling. So it's not like God's not saying like, you put a roof over your own head, shame on you. He's not saying that. He's saying like, you're putting paneling, and we would say like wainscoting, and you're doing all kinds of molds and trims, and you're getting, oh, it's looking, your houses are looking good. You put a lot of time and effort into your house. Meanwhile, I got a foundation. And the problem was, God had called them back with one job, build the temple. And not only did God call, God had stirred them. There was a time where they were sitting doing their own, minding their own business, and they sat there, and the king says, who among you wants to go? God's told me there needs to be a temple built. Who will leave everything and go? Who's with me? Who's with me? And people, I'm in. My family, we're going to go. And God had worked. So they knew the stirring of God. They knew what they were supposed to do. And yet now, for 16 years, they've been putting up the pieces in their house. Some even suggest, and I couldn't find proof, that maybe they're using some of the wood that was meant for the temple for their own houses. I couldn't find like proof on that. Man. And we can sit here and judge and say, oh, look, those people, they had one job. Man, they're in slavery. They're in bondage in Babylon, and God gave them freedom to go back, and all they had to do is build the temple and worship God. How wonderful that God called them to do that, and now they're building their own. Oh, shame on them, but shame on us. That's the emphasis they chose. Now, notice also the emptiness they experienced. This is what God says. Look at verse number 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Have you ever felt that way? I got holes in my pocket. Like I get all my paycheck comes, and before it comes, it's gone. And he's saying, you're going through all this stuff and you're working hard and you're trying to build your house and everything's looking good, but guess what? You're empty. There's an emptiness there. And you work hard and it's not enough. And you try and it's not enough. And he said, that's not by accident. I remember Pastor Stone meeting with a prominent businessman here in town who called him into the office. He called Pastor Stone into his office and said, hey, I have all this. I've been successful, but there's something missing in my life. And that Pastor Stone said, I know what you need. And he said, I know you do. That's why I called you. And Pastor Stone shared with him Jesus Christ, salvation. And I'll tell you what, even as Christians, as believers, sometimes we get so busy working and working, but there's still that emptiness. Like there's something missing. I'm missing the point. And that's what he's saying here. You try to earn money, but there's not much there. And even the money comes and goes. And for 16 years, I've been sending you message after message after message after message of emptiness. You know, what's a life full of success but void of purpose and emptiness? And this is what they're experiencing. Look at verse number 9. God speaking still. This is still part of this is Haggai from God. And notice that in throughout the verses, like Haggai is not saying, I got a message for you. He's like, thus saith the Lord, thus speaketh the Lord. This is God. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. He said, you brought it all home, and I just, gone. It's gone. You thought you had it all figured out, and I just blew on it. You know, we sang a song not too long ago in church. I think maybe it was in the afternoon service. Little is much when God is in it. The opposite is also true. Much is little when God's not in it. That's what he's saying here. You thought you had it all, and I just blew on it. Why? He said, why did I do that? Why is there emptiness? Why are you working so hard and you have bags with holes? Why is this not working out for you? Why do you see you're on this treadmill called life and you can't get anywhere? Why do you feel that way? Because you're not fulfilling the purpose of your life. I called you to build my house and you're building your house. You're off the mark. And for 16 years, Can I confess something? I hate the treadmill. I hate it. It's the worst invention ever. I mean, you run and sweat and get tired and you go nowhere. You go nowhere. You step off and you're still the same spot. But, you know, do you ever feel that way in your life that you just, I go to work, I pay the bills, I go to work and I pay the bills and I go to work and I pay the bills and I have some fun along the way, but am I really accomplishing anything? And maybe today we can identify with the nation, the people of Israel, when they feel this emptiness, because fulfilling God's calling will bring fullness. It's very possible to be successful in many areas of life and still be empty. And this emptiness is supposed to push them back to God. The problem of the people was they had gotten off track. They lost their priority. Notice also here the plea of the prophet. I know it's a lot of P's. I'm sure Haggai didn't have as many P's as I have today. The plea of the prophet. What was the message? Well, examine your walk. Consider your ways. Examine your walk. Take inventory. That's an interesting phrase. Consider. Stop. Look. Dig in. Analyze. Think about. When's the last time you just thought about your life and like, am I accomplishing what I should be accomplishing? I'm not trying to send you into a midlife crisis. I'm trying to send you into the will of God for your life, the call of God upon your life. What does God want you? I can't answer those questions for you. Certainly the Bible gives clear instruction of what the call of God in all of our life. You know, we're not called to build the temple. We are called to build the kingdom. And if we get so busy building our kingdom, financial, family, anything that is just, nothing wrong with those things, but if we focus on building our kingdom and neglect the kingdom of God, consider our ways. And that's the idea of your way is the road, the pathway. If you stay on the same path you're on right now, where does it lead you? That's what he's saying. Like, stop and look down the road for a minute and say, like, if I just keep doing what I'm doing right, forget about, like, well, we're going to get to the house of God. It's just not time. And eventually I'll get serious. And eventually I'll get busy. And eventually I'll serve. And eventually I'll go. And eventually, forget about that. If you just keep doing the same thing you are right now, where are you in 10 years? Empty. I blow on it. It's gone. God help us to consider our ways. Isn't that a convicting thought that Haggai sent? These are God's people that he's speaking to. These are good people that left the comforts of Babylon and all they knew, and were only because I don't know what's out there, but I know God's called me to go. So here we go. Let's go, family. Get behind. Let's go. We're gonna go. These are good people that had lost track, and they came to a point where God had to intervene and say, "I got a message through my prophet. Consider your ways." For Israel, it would have ended with nice houses, but missing the calling of God. You had one job, build a temple. What's your calling? What's your mission? What's our mission? Bible Baptist Church, what's our mission? Is it possible for Bible Baptist Church to be so busy doing other things we miss the one job? Sometimes. We have these conversations in the office. Are we too busy being busy that we're not focused in on what God called us to do as a church? God help us to consider our ways. Where does the path lead if we just keep going? Does it lead to emptiness or fullness, fulfillment? His message is examine your walk, and his message goes on, engage in the work. Look at verse number 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. That's pretty clear. Hey, stop, consider your ways, and once you do, go to the mountain, get some wood, and start building. Like, it's not difficult. They know exactly, he's telling me exactly what to do. Action always comes after realization. When you realize and repent, there has to be an action that takes place. I got to change. Stop. I'm not going to put another nail on my paneling until I put some wood on the foundation of the house of God. I'm going to the mountain today to get some wood, and we're going to build a house. This is what God calls to do, and he's telling them very clearly, consider your ways and then get busy. Engage in the work. Take action. Get back on track. This is why I called you here. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Engage in the work. Look at the verse number 8 as well. Exalt his worth. Verse number 8. Go to the mountain, bring wood, build the house. Why? And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. I'll take pleasure. You want to please me? Go build the house. Stop, pause, take inventory, consider your ways, and then go do what you're supposed to do. I'll take pleasure in that. You know, we should take part in what God takes pleasure in. Doesn't that make sense? If you're called, if you're saved by Jesus Christ, and he's saved you, and he's given you eternal life in heaven, then our desire ought to be to please him and take part in what God takes pleasure in. And so ask yourself, what pleases God? What could I do on Monday this week that would please God? What can I do that would glorify God, that would point people to God? That's what he says. Go do what pleases me. Go do what glorifies me. It's not difficult, but it's easy to get off track. It's all about his pleasure and his glory. Exalt him, his worth, not our house. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God building his kingdom, not our kingdom, and letting those things flow through us and being used of God. Engage in the work. Roll up your sleeve and get busy doing something for God. I wish I could say today that I have on the back table a list of things that God wants you to do. I have a message for you, Kyle Bishop. I have a to-do list from God. Here's what God wants you to do. Go get that list and do that. I don't have that. But I do have a Bible. We do have a Holy Spirit. And we are supposed to be engaged in building his kingdom. And so all I'm encouraging you to do today, based upon the message from Haggai, is stop, consider your ways, and then go. Go do it. Go do whatever God told you to do. It will bring pleasure and glory to God and bring fulfillment and fullness in our life. All right, lastly, let me show you this. The practice of the people. What happened? This is the best part of the story. I mean, you just never know. There's been times in my life where I had to correct people. Teenagers have those conversations. I've had tough conversations with parents. Sometimes parents have had tough conversations with me, and I had to admit I was wrong. When you confront somebody, you just never know what's going to happen. And so here comes Haggai with this message. Hey, folks, I got a message from God for you. You're saying it's not time to build a house, but God says, I know you're dwelling. It's good for you to dwell in your sealed houses while my house lies waste. That's good. You think it's okay? Because I don't think it's okay. In fact, every time you've been working so hard, I've been blowing on that, and it feels like you're putting your stuff in bags with holes in it. And that's me all along. Go up to the mountain and get some wood and get busy. Consider your ways. Pretty pointed. What was the result of this message? What happened at the invitation time when Haggai said, okay, that's God's message. What are you going to do about it? Look at verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, which is again the governor, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, again the high priest, with all the remnant of the people. All right, so this is everybody. The leadership, from leadership down. And I want you to understand, Haggai's message was not just to the people that sat in the pew. It was to the leadership of the people. All, you know who's just as guilty of not building the house and building their own kingdom and not God's kingdom? The high priest. The governor. It's easy. Happens to all of us. That's why it's important. Like Samson's supply company, stop, stop, stop. Take inventory. Press the pause button and consider your ways. So here, all the people, remnant of the people, what did they do? Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before their Lord. Their submission to God's word. They heard God's word. They said, okay, we're done with that. We are, stop the construction on our houses, and tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock we're here and we're going to the mountain. Who's with me? Right? Who's with me? We're no longer playing games. We've been off track. 16 years is a long time for to have foundation. Can you imagine if you said, I'm going to build a house, and you put the foundations, and you're now, okay, we're going to save some money so 16 years later you can put the walls up? That's tough. But it's okay for God's house. But you know what? That next day, they began to work in the house of God. They obeyed, and then notice that too, they feared. There's a revival of fearing God and understanding we have an awesome God. I don't think it was fear like, if I don't get busy, I'm gonna get the whip. No, we have an awesome God. Thank you for this message. Thank you for loving me enough to correct me. Thank you for sending Haggai. I can't believe it. I can't believe how far off track I've gotten. I am so sorry, God. Please forgive me for being off track so far. I will get busy. And so there's obedience and fear among the people. No more disobedience, no more delayed obedience, simple, immediate obedience. And if God's word is powerful, and if God's word is true, there ought to be a difference in our lives tomorrow when we consider our ways and say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do something different. Tomorrow, this Monday will be different than last Monday because I've considered my ways, I've taken some inventory, I've been off track a bit, I've been busy doing my thing and not God's thing, and I'm going to change. That's what happened. But I want you to notice this too. This is so good. After their obedience, there's a statement of God's presence. Look at verse 13. I mean, God could have been done with that message and say, okay, guess I did that. That's what happened. You guys listen to me. I'm glad, but that's not it. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. That's it. Simple message. They responded in obedience, and he said, I'm with you. I want you to know, when you go to the mountain tomorrow, you're not going to be alone. And when you start building, you're not alone. I'm here. And he's always been there. But they now had a reassurance of the presence of God and say, have you ever felt like you're not close to God? Well, guess what? Starting now, they felt close to God because they had got back on track because they had considered their ways. God reassures his people of his presence. I love that. I've read Haggai before. I just never noticed how simple that message is from God. I am with you. The message isn't over. It was harsh. I've been blowing on your stuff for a long time. You've been bad. You've been off track. You're back on track. I'm with you. I'm with you. The reassurance, the statement of God's presence. And then I love this part, verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Did you see that? The stirring of God's spirit. Same exact word that they experienced over 16 years ago when they sat in their house in Babylon and God said, I got a job for you. I'm in. Same exact word as King Cyrus as he sat in his temple and his throne room and ruled over the country of Persia. And he said, God, you want me to do this? There is a fresh stirring of the Spirit. Yeah, I know exactly what I need to do. This is not my idea. This is God's idea. It's so clear to me now. Why wasn't it clear for the last 16 years? Because you stopped. Considered your ways, obeyed and feared, and now you know exactly what you're supposed to do. There's a stirring of the Spirit. Same word Cyrus experienced. Same word the people in Babylon experienced. Let me ask you, do you need to be stirred up again? Do we need a stirring, a reviving, a new presence, a new understanding? I'm not trying to make this up, but this is what the Bible says. The Spirit of God is real and will stir us up and tell us what to do and show us directions. So we see here in this passage a beautiful partnership between an obedient people and an empowering God. You can't stop an obedient people and an empowering God when they work in partnership. And God stirred them up. Wow, what a message. Wouldn't you have loved to sat as a spectator? I don't know if I want to be there as a participant. I don't like getting chewed out. But God chewed them out and said, I know your works. Now you consider your ways. You're off track. Your priorities are all messed up. You've lost focus. And you can go through life and just keep going on this treadmill we call life and just keep on going. And you'll think you're making ahead, but you're not getting ahead because I blow on it. And you put it in the bag, and guess what? It falls out the hole that I made. And you can just go through that if you want to keep going, or there's another option. You can stop and consider your ways and start taking part in what I take pleasure in and what glorifies me. Oh, you're doing it? Okay, I'm with you. Let's go do it. Let's go do it. And they did. Let me ask you a few questions as we close. Will you stop and take spiritual inventory? Are you willing to do that? What about my life? How does the message from Haggai the prophet to the people in Jerusalem apply to Mike Holland in St. Thomas in 2025? Each of you have to do that individually. Are you willing to? Or are you just like, no, I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having us at service. Air conditioning felt good. I'll have a snack afterwards and we'll go our way. Huh? Is that what we're going to do? I hope to God not, because that's not why God put Haggai in the Bible, for us to consider our ways. Are God's priorities your priorities? Is there unfinished work in your life, something you started and haven't finished? We had a bathroom in our house that was, I remember it was Father's Day one year. We came downstairs and we had a water leak and the ceiling was bowed. And my dad ripped off the ceiling and started a bathroom renovation. I was a child. Just before my sister got married, my dad finished the bathroom. It was an unfinished project for years. There was a hole in the bathroom door that we had to go to the bathroom and we had to cover it with something before we went to the. That's how we lived, like that. That was normal for us for years. Unfinished business. That's a funny story, but there's a lot maybe of us who are sitting with unfinished business between us and God. Unfinished business. Do you need a fresh stirring of the Spirit? Would you ask God, God, stir me again? Oh, God, stir me again. I've been on this treadmill. I've been going through the motions. Oh, God, stir me again. I want to consider my ways. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live without the Spirit. I don't want to live just going through. I don't want to just build my kingdom and not yours. I don't want to live this way. Have you even delayed trusting Christ as your Savior? Have you put off the most important decision of your life? To make Jesus Christ your personal Savior. God's call is clear. Consider your ways and then go and build. A fresh stirring of the Spirit always leads to new levels of obedience. Bible Baptist Church, those visiting with us today, here's the message. Stop. Consider your ways. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? No one looking around.